Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and earned a bachelor's degree in mass communications from the University of Michigan while becoming an All-American football player. After winning the Heisman Trophy in 1991, he went on to play in the NFL for 11 seasons. He was voted the MVP of Super Bowl 31, and since 2005, he's been a part of ESPN's College Game Day. One of only four players to win both the Heisman Trophy and the Super Bowl MVP award, his name? Desmond Howard. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the Magic Man, Desmond Howard. Desmond, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I look forward to it.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Wow. well, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm the second youngest of four boys. My dad did a lot of... my dad worked in a tool and die manufacturing company called Osborne when I was growing up. And my mom, she did daycare in our home. And so I was always around, other kids outside of my own siblings.
Where did you get your love for education?
I think it was pretty much instilled in myself and my brothers at a young age. We we always knew the importance of education. Our parents emphasized it. We knew we had to do well in school, and if we didn't do well in school, there would be consequences. So one of the consequences, if I didn't get good grades, I couldn't play sports. And growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, back then, and you're talking about the, 70s and 80s, it was commonplace to go out and play with your friends, and I couldn't even just go out and play with my friends if I didn't get good grades. Not talking about an organized, sport, organized team, just to go outside and play with your friends. That wasn't an option if I didn't, if I got bad grades or I got some sort of bad report in school. So, it was instilled in my brothers and myself at a very young age that, getting good grades was very important to my parents.
You attended St. Joseph's Catholic Academy. You were very, very good in football and track and field. And you're recruited by, of course, Ohio State. How was it you ever chose University of Michigan?
Well, when I went to when I was in high school, my senior year was the same year that Earl Bruce was fired from Ohio State as their head football coach. And, it really wasn't – let me back up. When I grew up in Cleveland, I wasn't a big college football fan by any stretch of the imagination. I loved the NFL and the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys were my favorite team. And Tony Dorsett, he was my favorite player. I was actually a running back when I was in high school at St. Joe's. And even before that, I always played running back, and I liked Tony Dorsett a lot. I tried to emulate my game after his, and so I was never like a real big college football fan. The Buckeyes was just the Buckeyes, not like I grew up, loving Ohio State or anything like that. But ironically, I had an uncle named Calvin who lived in Detroit, and I would go up to Detroit and visit my Uncle Calvin and my cousin, his son, my cousin Dwayne. And I remember one time we took a trip up to Ann Arbor to watch the state basketball championship game. So I had been up to Ann Arbor a couple of times. I had never, until like my senior year in high school or something like that, never went to Ohio State that I can recall. But I do recall going to Ann Arbor to watch this high school basketball player named Antoine the Judge Joubert play in the state finals. And it was just something, I guess, about, you know, now that I went to Michigan, graduated and all that, just things like that just stick in my head, like, wow, maybe that was a sign or something. Because I always remember that. I remember his name. I remember the game and just going up to, you know, to Ann Arbor. So I spent some time up in Detroit, and, you know, being in Detroit is kind of almost like the cousin of Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor's Detroit's cousin. So there's always like this relationship there that I recall, hearing people talk about Michigan, and hearing people talk about Coach Jim Beckler, hearing people talk about Anthony Carter and other people, other greats who were at the University of Michigan. So it's just interesting that I ended up going there. But like I said, I wasn't a big college football fan. So my senior year, they fired Earl Bruce, and they were bringing in a guy named John Cooper from out there in Arizona somewhere. And I remember telling my dad that, I said, well, Ohio State is off the table. He said, why? And it was like a big, huge decision at the time. Cause like I said, it's not like I was like this guy who grew up wanting to play for the Buckeyes. That wasn't the case at all. But I knew that, you know, because of my high school and the prowess that we had, that would be something people would be interested in. You know, one of their top recruits in the state, not even taking a trip. I told my dad, I'm not going to take a trip to Columbus. He said, why? I said, because I don't want to be part of a rebuilding program, and I don't know what type of offense this guy's going to bring to Columbus and what type of personnel he's looking for. So, like, I never took an official visit to Columbus as a football recruit. The first time I stepped foot on their campus, and relationship to football was in a maize and blue uniform.
When we come back, we'll ask Desmond Howard about playing for the legendary Bo Schembechler. And I'm Jack Rasulin, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasulo, and we're with Desmond Howard, a.k.a. The Magic Man. Desmond, you were honored and blessed to play for the late, great Bo Schembechler. Tell us about Bo.
Well, there are a few instances in life where I think words can't do justice to explain or exemplify the feelings that you have about a person or a situation, and this is one of those rare occurrences. Bo was my guy. I loved Coach Schembechler. He was a man with great passion for the game. He had great integrity. He was a man who was a strict disciplinarian, but the piece that people don't get is that you knew where that was coming from. You knew where all of that, you know, energy that you saw, whether you thought it was positive or negative towards his players, you knew as a player where the energy was coming from. He got on you. He stayed on you. It wasn't pretty, but you understood, at least most of us did, where it was coming from. It was coming from a place of love and of caring and a place of wanting to see you develop into a man, and it's not an easy process. So Bo was – it was my guy. You know, love Coach Schembechler. I just wish that every individual had an opportunity to meet Coach Schembechler and just sit down and talk to him, if even for just 5 minutes, because he has that type of ability that he can have an impact on an individual, no matter who the person is, in just 5 minutes. That's how big he was and how great he was.
1991, final game, U of M versus OSU. You return a punt, 93 yards for a touchdown, and you do your famous Heisman pose. How did that come about?
Well, it was really something that, I guess because of the way the season was going, and I became a front runner for the Heisman probably a little earlier than halfway through the season. Definitely halfway through the season, I was a front runner. I was a legitimate candidate after week two, after we played Notre Dame. And as the momentum started to build, I became the front runner. And being from Cleveland, Ohio, that rivalry, you know, has special meaning for me. So I knew that I wanted to do something special if I score it. Now, I don't know, I scored 20-plus touchdowns that season, and I always just handed the ball to the ref, turned around, and celebrated with my teammates. That's the way I did it every single time. But I knew if I got in the end zone against the Buckeyes in Ann Arbor that I wanted to do something special. I just didn't know what. And I was really encouraged to do something special by my teammates. That's kind of how I started. Just one couple of my teammates said, yeah, you got to do something. But I didn't know what. And I actually wanted to do like a backflip into the end zone, but, you know, you never know how you're going to score. I mean, if I score on a slant route and I catch the ball in the end zone, then that kind of pretty much kills that idea. But if I can break out in the open like I did on the punt return, then I will have, you know, at least the space and time to maybe slow down and then do a backflip into the end zone, which is actually what I wanted to do. But as I saw the punter and I knew I was going to score, it was like a mental Armageddon. I kept going back and forth in my own head whether I was going to do this backflip or not. And so I guess by the time I got to the 5-yard line and talked myself out of it, then I said, man, okay, what am I going to do? And I just crossed the goal line, and I did that move spontaneously.
December 1991, you're named Heisman Trophy winner, one of the most unique and exclusive clubs in America. Only have had three from U of M: Tom Harmon, 1940, U 91, Charles Woodson, 97. What's that like when they say Desmond Howard, Heisman Trophy winner?
You know, at that time, and I guess even now, but at that time, you know, you're just a young man, 20, 21 years old. It's the greatest feeling that you can experience because of the prestige of the award and the notoriety that comes with it. And then, so it was a great feeling. I didn't understand the gravity of it until it actually happened, and afterwards, of course. But you know, it was the way that it happened, meaning that it wasn't like Michigan went to like this wide open offense and started to throw the ball, 30, 40 times a game just to feature Desmond Howard. Everything happened within the flow of our offense. And I think that's what made it so special and so unique, that, you know, they didn't change the game plan or, you know, the offense so they can throw the ball in my direction, you know, 20 times a game or something crazy like that. It's just a matter of, within the flow of our offense, when I got an opportunity, I made the most of that opportunity, you know, and whether it was a slant route, a go route, a punt return, or a kickoff return, just every time I put my hands on the ball, I tried to do the best, the absolute best I could to help our team score so we would win. So to me, it was within the team concept, and that's big at Michigan. That's huge at Michigan. And that's what made it to me that much more special and significant, because it wasn't like I was the featured player. You know, we still ran the ball a lot, and we had great running backs, and we did things the Michigan way. It was just a matter of within the, I guess, the flow of the team concept and the way that we ran our offense. Every time I touched the ball, I tried to do my best to help our team win.
We're talking to Desmond Howard, and since 2005, he's been part of ESPN's College Game Day. Desmond, it's going to be hard to believe, but this coming December, it's going to be 25 years you won the Heisman. What has winning the Heisman meant to you these past 25 years?
You know, it's been really special. It's been really special. I didn't know, like I said, at the time, the gravity of the award and what it would do for me and for my life. But I think that, you know, and you look back and obviously you start to really appreciate things a little more the older you get. And not only did it, to win the Heisman is it special and is it great, but to win it at the University of Michigan to me is even just adds to it, just makes it even more significant and more special, because University of Michigan is just such a special and just a well-revered university. I mean, so to be able to do it, like you said earlier, you know, just to be one of three to ever win it at the University of Michigan is huge. So, I mean, it's a great honor. It's one of the most prestigious awards in the country, if not in the world. I mean, people know that Heisman Award. They know the name. They know what it looks like. And it's an honor to be a Heisman Trophy winner from the University of Michigan.
Last year, you were one of four or five players who had their numbers retired at the Big House before that Ohio State game. When you walked down that field, Desmond Howard, what was that like?
Wow, that's one of those unique experiences that, it's difficult to sum up, because I never knew if it would happen, and I didn't place a huge emphasis on it happening, whether it happened or not. I mean, what I did, and, you know, a lot of people obviously felt as though my number should be retired, and they thought it should have been retired years ago. So there's always been, like, this discussion or this debate about retiring Desmond Howard's jersey. And, you know, my thing is, I don't know what the criteria is and, you know, what they were looking for or whatnot. I know at one point they just didn't want to retire anybody's jerseys anymore. I don't know who came to that decision and why they came to that decision, but it was a decision that they made at the time, so we just lived with it. And then Dave Brandon became the AD, and I think being a former player too, he understood the significance of, you know, the Heisman, and he said, well, if the powers that be decided not to retire any more jerseys, well, maybe we'll make Desmond's jersey a Legends jersey. And he started the Legends program because, you know, winning the Heisman is significant. And then not only did I win the Heisman, but I also graduated from Michigan in 4 years too. So you're talking about a kid who pretty much did it the right way when he was in Ann Arbor. He was a great student athlete. He went to class. He didn't get in trouble. He graduated in 4 years from the LS&A department with a degree in communications. And he also won the Heisman, the most significant trophy in the sport that he played. So I think he's like, listen, we got to do something. We can't just not do anything. Act like nothing happened. Okay, he had a good career, but that was it. So I think Dave understood the magnitude and the gravity of everything that was involved, and you want to give other student-athletes, you know, something to look forward to and somebody to, like, I guess they can say, okay, we see how they honored his great accomplishments. Now, you know, we understand that these things aren't just taken for granted. So I think Dave understood that, and he wanted to give some appreciation and some notoriety for what I accomplished it at Michigan. I was very, very thankful for Dave for doing that. And he, you know, he started the Legends program, and I was the my jersey was the jersey that kicked it off. And that was significant. That was special to me. I was happy with that, you know. I'm not one walking around trying to get any type of publicity or anything like that for what I, you know, what I accomplished. I wasn't like, you know, calling Regents and calling people like, hey, won't you guys do this for me? It's like, hey, if this is what you think I deserve, then so be it. I'm happy with whatever. But and then Jim Hackett became the interim AD. And I guess Jim said, well, the hell with this? We can retire jerseys. I mean, everyone's retiring jerseys. Why can't we retire jerseys? We only have a handful of jerseys retired anyway, and I don't know if there's anybody more qualified to have his jersey retired than Desmond and what Desmond did in Ann Arbor. So he made it happen, and I'm thankful to Jim Hackett for making that happen the way, you know, he did. And it was significant. The timing of it was impeccable from the standpoint that had it happened earlier, that I have twin boys, and they're at an age now where they can appreciate it. So they were on the field with me to see and to witness and to be a part of that ceremony. So now it happened, in my opinion, at the right time. It happened at an age where they were there, they were part of it, and they'll remember for the rest of their lives.
We're talking to Desmond Howard, who's one of only four players to win both the Heisman Trophy and the Super Bowl MVP award. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Desmond Howard. After Michigan, you were drafted by the Redskins. You played 92, 93, 94 for them as part of your 11-year career, and you played for the legendary coach Joe Gibbs. Tell us about Joe Gibbs.
Man, Joe was a great coach. He was a great guy, too. A guy who, another guy with just great integrity, a lot of love and passion for the sport. He wanted you to be more than a football player. He wanted to develop you into, you know, a successful human being. And I wish I could have spent more time with Joe Gibbs, because the year they drafted me, they had just won a Super Bowl. They beat the Buffalo Bills in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the following year is when they drafted me. I spent that 1 year with Joe, and then Joe kind of burnt out, because I think that Super Bowl year, it puts so much pressure on you to, like, you know, go out there now and repeat. And you got this big bullseye on your back that he just burnt out my rookie year, and he retired after that. So I wish I had an opportunity to spend more time with Joe Gibbs.
From 96 through 99, you played for the Packers. Lambeau Field, John Facenda used to say, the frozen tundra. He was the voice of God. What makes that place, Desmond, so special?
Wow, Jack, it's interesting that you would mention that, because I feel as though I've been very fortunate to call, you know, probably two of the places in football that would be perceived as maybe the holy grail of football, you know, Lambeau and NFL and the Big House in Ann Arbor, as really as a home field for myself. I've been able to call Lambeau Field my home field, and obviously the Big House. So I've been blessed to be able to play in both places, and in front of both crowds, which are two of the greatest crowds in any sport. Their fan bases are just incredible, incredible. I mean, Michigan's fan base is the best fan base in college football or in college sports, and I think that Green Bay, their fans are just they're unmatched by any fan in any professional sport. They love, absolutely love their Green Bay Packers. So it was a pleasure to be able to call Lambeau Field, home, and to play in front of that crowd. And it's just, I guess, the history, the mystique. You know, they've renovated the stadium, but it still has that old traditional flavor to it. It doesn't look, you know, too modernized or too crazy. It looks like it still looks like it has the characteristics of Lambeau Field, and it's a great venue to play a football game in.
Let's go back to January 26th, 1997, Super Bowl 31. Green Bay is playing New England, and they kick off to you at one point, and you take the ball at the 1 yard line. Desmond Howard, what happened?
Wow. Well, that game was it was a heated contest going. We had the lead, but obviously the Patriots had just scored. And during that game, there's just like a lot of emotions going on back and forth. And it was a very competitive contest. And during the game, the Patriots tried to really eliminate our return game. They their strategy was on punts to do what we call directional punting. So they tried to punt the ball either way to the right, as close to the sideline as they possibly could, way to the left, whichever angle they wanted to. But they tried to punt me into the sideline so I wouldn't be able to, you know, have a good return. And then as far as kickoffs are returned, kickoffs are concerned, they kicked the ball very high and short. And that was their little strategy. So I don't know what happened. As far as what the kicker, Adam Vinatieri, was told after the touchdown that Curtis Martin had just scored. But it was the best kick that we could ask for that return. As a matter of fact, it was just the best kick of the game. I mean, I just remember putting my heels on about the 5 yard line to go return the kickoff, and as the ball left Adam's foot, I remember retreating. And so now I'm starting to step back, and I'm like, oh my God, they're going to finally give us a chance. And that's exactly what I said to myself. So as I retreated and caught it on about the one or the goal line, Don Beebe was back there as the other returner, and we had a middle return on, and I started to follow Don, and then I saw a little crease open up, and Don is a guy who's small in stature like myself, so he didn't need much space to get through that crease, and it opened up a little more, and then I got my little body through there too, and there was a guy to the right of me who tried to make a tackle, and he grabbed my face mask, and I broke that tackle, and there's another guy in the way, and I saw Adam Vinatieri. And I was like, okay, well, here we go. Because I started looking up at the Jumbotron just to make sure no one was behind me so I can get into the end zone and do a little Michael Jackson robot.
So year one, you beat New England 35-21. You were named Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl 31. And, Desmond, you're one of only four players who have won the Heisman, Super Bowl, the other ones being a guy named Roger Staubach, Jim Plunkett, Marcus Allen. I mean, that's tall cotton, Desmond Howard. What's that like being one of only four?
Wow, it's special. It's really significant. It's something that I don't take for granted at all. I know I've been very fortunate, very blessed to see, my hard work and the sacrifice that I put in even as a child, to see that be rewarded with such major accomplishments, and to be in to breathe the same air as such greats, it's just a huge honor and it's a blessing.
This past February at Super Bowl 50 in San Francisco, they had all the living Super Bowl MVPs come out on the field. Namath, Staubach, Montana, Rice, Emmett Smith, Brady. When they announced Desmond Howard and you walked out there, what was that like?
You know, it was it's huge, because in this country, football is the number one sport. It's the top dog. It's not even close. I mean, football is it in this country. And of course, the Super Bowl is that crowning moment. It's the big game. It's what everyone everyone strives for. I don't care if you're a player or if you're a fan. If you're a fan of a football team, if you're a Detroit Lions football fan, your goal, your wish, your dream is to see the Detroit Lions play in the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, if you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, I mean, their fans, the Jaguar fans and the Lions fans, they have the same dreams and hopes, you know, at least desires as the Broncos fans or the Patriots fans. They all want to see their team play in that game. And to be able to walk out on that field, you know, before that game and be acknowledged with some of the greats, some of the legends. We're talking about first ballot Hall of Famers who I grew up watching play the game, who I grew up watching them play in the Super Bowl, just, you know, emulating things that they did on the field. The Roger Staubach, the Cowboys, my team. And to just be, you know, in the back room, the green room with those guys and hearing their stories and then knowing that, whoa, wait, time out. I'm part of this now. Like, I'm a part of this group. Like, this is like a fraternity, an exclusive fraternity that I'm actually a member of. And so it's man, it's almost surreal when you look at it like that. But then I have to like pinch myself, like, yeah, you're part of this group. Like, there are other kids growing up now, like I grew up, who watch me do the things I did when I played in the NFL, when I played in the Super Bowl, just like when I was a kid, and I watched these guys, Jerry Rice, you know, all these guys play in the NFL, playing Super Bowls too. So it's a blessing.
When we come back, we'll ask Desmond Howard about being on ESPN's College Game Day for the last 12 years. And I'm Jack Rasulin, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasulin. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to, a.k.a. the Magic Man, Desmond Howard. Since 2005, you've been a key part of ESPN Game Day. Tell us about Herb Street, Corso, Fowler, Davis, Samantha Ponder, please.
Yeah, we have a really good core. I think that, you know, I think the chemistry of our show is what makes it so special, so unique. Let me see. Herb Street is great guy, excellent analyst, probably the best at what he does. He's been doing it for quite some time, and he's really polished, and he's just the guy who, I mean, he's very knowledgeable, very extremely sharp, loves the game. I think that's what comes across, too, is the guys who are, like, the core of our show, they really, not only do they love the sport, but they love making sure that our audience get the best product available. They want to put out an excellent show every week. It's not like they take anything for granted. They pay attention to the smallest and most minute of details, and they want to make sure that our audience get the best experience every time they turn on the television and watch our show. And that's what really struck me the first couple of times I sat in on a meeting. And back then it was Chris Fowler, Herb Street, and Corso. And that's like was the core of the show. Now, that was many, many moons ago, about 11, 12 years ago. And now we have a whole cast of characters who are part of it because we've expanded the show from I believe it was an hour and a half, and now it's a 3-hour show.
Over those 12 years, who's been a more accurate picker, you or Lee Corso?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know. I tend not to keep stats on that because I think Lee's been doing it longer than I have, so he's a little, you know, a little more seasoned, so to speak. But I don't know. That's a good question. We might be neck and neck. I mean, he's. You know, I call him the wise old jester of the group.
Let's look at this coming season. Jim Harbaugh, University of Michigan. What has he brought to that program?
Wow. Well, I think he brought credibility, instant credibility, because of who he is and what he's done in his career. I think that he's brought a high level of excitement, an incredible buzz around the program just because of how he does things. And I think he's bringing Michigan back to where Michigan football belongs.
Talk to us about the job that Mark D'Antonio has done for the Spartans, please.
He's done an incredible job up there. Oh, man, I think people because I'm a Michigan alum, people listen to my words and I talk about the Spartans, and I think they want to, like, try to dissect any negativity out of anything I say. But I'm paid to be an analyst, and analysts are critical. That's what we have to do. We can't just give you the good. We also have to give you the bad. But I always say that D'Antonio is a really, really good coach. He's done a fine job up there in East Lansing, just an incredible job. He's taken them to a place where they haven't been in quite some time, and he's been able to keep them there, too, for a number of years, which is impressive. So, I mean, what he's been able to do has just been pretty good. I mean, he's a heck of a coach. You know, he may not get the recruiting classes of a Nick Saban or Les Miles at LSU or some of these other coaches, but he recruits the kids who fit his program, and then he makes sure that he's able to mold them into exactly what he needs to accomplish what he desires on the football field. So, I mean, he's done a really, really good job. He's done a really good job. He's a really good coach.
Desmond, as our time winds down together this evening, what advice would you give our young listeners, please?
Don't let anyone tell you what you can't do. Be passionate, and whatever it is you want to do, attack it with an enthusiasm that is not known to mankind.
Desmond Howard, a.k.a. The Magic Man, thanks very much for sharing your amazing, inspiring story. It's an honor to have you.
Hey, Jack, thanks for having me, and have a great one.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom.
Believe in yourself.